Audi.
Hello and welcome to the Big Travel Podcast. I'm Lisa Francesca Nand. This is an on-location episode brought to you from Ibiza, where I've had an amazing stay at the Ocean Drive Talamanca. It's an arty luxury hotel in the beautiful cove of Talamanca and one of the flagships of my guest today's small chain of boutique hotels and other properties. What can I say about my trip to Ibiza except it was absolutely amazing? It's an island of absolute contrasts from the crazy packed cathedrals of dance, as my guest calls them on this episode, yet the beautiful unspoilt rocky coasts and coves hiding stunning white sand beaches and azure seas. And it's fair to say that in my little solo trip there, I tried them all. I did David Guetta at Ushuaia. That was the biggest clubby night out that I went to, which was really good fun. But my favourites were Cova Santa, which is a stunning and sophisticated garden of nightlife in the Ibizan hills. Several little layers of gardens and little hidden areas where the DJs are and chill out areas and beautiful, beautiful cocktails and just the warm air and right up my street, absolutely right up my street. I love staying in the Ocean Drive Talamanca as well. The swimming pools are stunning, very designy, very Miami design hotel. And also this incredible rooftop bar where I watched the sunset, and it was just so chilled and really lovely. 3 days felt like a week. It really did. Anyway, so that's my Ibiza story. And the story we've got on the podcast today is very much connected. We love a rags to riches story here on the podcast, particularly ones that involve a lot of travel. Whilst Ibiza hotelier Marc Rahola didn't exactly start off from rags, he's from Barcelona, his father Victor was an architect, and his mother Maite an interior designer. He did go from teenage hotel telephone exchange boy. Yeah, he literally started plugging in the telephone exchanges when it was done like that, to become the founder of a chain of boutique hotels and properties by, in his own words, making a series of happy accidents and mistakes. The OD Group and OD Hotels now operate in hospitality, real estate, private equity, construction, architecture and engineering, and indeed agriculture. And of course, OD Hotels, based on the initial of his first hotel, the Ocean Drive in Ibiza. Marc and his team have built a mini empire, but it's all ever so chilled and fantastic. He's lovely. He's the sort of jeans and t-shirt guy. And we had a great coffee sitting on the terrace of the Ocean Drive Talamanca amidst the low bubble of the nearby fountain and people in the pool. And yeah, it was bliss. Right. Anyway, here's Marc's story. Let's give him the proper Big Travel Podcast introduction. Ibizan hotelier Marc Rahola went from hotel telephone exchange boy to become the founder of a chain of boutique hotels and properties, in his own words, by making a series of happy accidents and mistakes. We explore how a Paris hotel CD inspired his boutique hotel concept, expanding to the Côte d'Azur, Madrid, Barcelona, Sevilla, London and more. Feeling at home in London's Notting Hill, travelling around gigging with his band, his recommendations for hidden Ibiza, and how he feels Darwinian adaption and disruption and remaining curious and taking risks can be the making of a game-changing business. Marc Rahola is on the Big Travel Podcast.
¿Te molesta si hablamos en inglés? Yo puedo hablar en español y hay un montón de gente que me ha dicho que tengo que hacer un podcast episode en español, pero la verdad es que yo no creo que puedo.
No, you speak so well Spanish, but for me it's not a problem.
You speak so well in English?
Ah, I was living in London for 3 years.
Were you?
Yeah, it was during COVID, so.
Ah, so I'm guessing as a hotelier you took a break during COVID.
You know, it was a little painful. But when there was the hard lockdown, I was obviously I go back to Spain and to be here because it's better with the lockdown.
Yes, absolutely. Although the rules were very strict, weren't they, at first in Spain?
Yeah, they were so hard, but then relaxed it and it was. It's not well said that, but I enjoy it because I had June and July. I have never had. Since I was a child, so I could go to, let's say, undercover places with my kids. Impossible to make it in July and August because it's full of people or you don't have enough time to make it. and it was amazing. It's like having a paradise for yourself. So it was not so bad.
So talking about, you said that you've been working as a since a very, very young age. So how did you start off in the business?
Here, it's very based that, let's say, young people, while they are studying, in summertime, they get some money, and obviously it's about the hotel business is one of the ones that you can grab some money there. So I started, I think that my it was at 16, 17 years. I start with in a hotel in Playa Hermosa, being, let's say, the assistant of the cable of the telephone. It used to work with still with cables, the phone. We've got a big one, but it was exactly like in Netflix, let's say, series, exactly the same process. And this was, I think, 1990. So sometimes when I see some, let's say, museum telephone machine like this, I remember my first steps in the hotel business. I was working there for 3-4 years. Then I was assistant in front desk, and then in the front desk, and obviously this gave some, let's say, perspective of the business before I started working in a hotel company in, let's say, in headquarters.
So you've gone from being the boy that literally puts the plugs in for the phone for the exchange tell us what you are now.
Yes, I started, let's say, it in analogic mode in the hospitality business, and today is more digital mode. Yeah, it is like this, but the point is that this gave a very, let's say, good platform when we used to forget what is a hotel. So back to the basics, and let's say make the little things well perform, not just in a very aesthetic way.
You know everything from the ground up.
Yes, but it was an accident because I would want in that era to grab money to go to discotheques as any, let's say, teenager. So, but yeah, nowadays I realize that gave me, let's say, a very good, let's say, open mind process while I'm trying to digest new processes for my hotels.
So a really a happy accident.
Happy, a very good one.
So how many? So what's the situation with the hotels now? We're sitting. I should say we're sitting on the very beautiful terrace of the Ocean Drive Talamanca in Ibiza, and so you might hear some sounds. There's a bit of breeze. There's some aeroplanes going back and forth. There's a little fountain bubbling over yonder, and we've got a coffee. And it's beautiful. I've been here for a day now, and this is, you know, really, really a stunning concept. And I can tell that you have an incredible eye for art and design and comfort. You really are responsible for bringing the boutique hotel concept to Ibiza. Is that fair to say?
Yes, but again, it was a very fantastic accident because when I was in the front desk while I was 17 or 18. We have souvenirs to sell, and one of them was the CDs of music of the discotheques and all of that. And I didn't understand why there was a CD from a hotel in Paris that was called Hotel Costes. So I was, obviously today everybody knows which spot is, but I wonder, we're in Ibiza, why we are selling CDs from a hotel in Paris and a hotel where we're selling from Café del Mar, Space, Pacha, all these spots. So I didn't get it. So I got some curiosity, and in the years after, while I got the possibility to travel to Paris, I was amazed and I fell in love with that concept. Let's say the boutique Costes concept, that everything was happening and there was a lot of little, let's say, processes of happenings all the day long. So I said, I want that, and someday I will bring this to Ibiza. And that, let's say that you know, an accident, second accident, and then that's why I began with Ocean Drive, with a 40 let's say one star hotel in the middle of nowhere, because it was with no swimming pool, with no beach, with no, let's say, capacity to grow because it's one star hotel. But I think this is the one that I'm going to perform and to make that this has to happen here. So, yeah, it was like this.
So when was the first time you began to travel more widely? Did you travel as a child?
Not so much, but I used to travel from 1998, 1999, every single year to Paris and to London and to Berlin because of the fairs, market fairs of tourism. And obviously this gave me the possibility to understand, because nowadays it's very common to say I'm going everywhere. But let's say in the very last part of the century or the millennium, it was not so easy to go everywhere. So, yeah, in that era, to grab new concepts, the concepts that we're trying to bring to Ibiza were from France, Paris, London, or places like this. Nowadays, Ibiza has his own, let's say, cosmopolitan process. But it's because there is a lot of expats, to say it in some way, that has created this atmosphere in the very last 20 years and has been more deeper, the exchange of knowledge. But in that era, you have to travel to, let's say, to discover these processes. Obviously, there was people around the world that they landed here in Ibiza and they developed, let's say, the processes while they found Ibiza fantastic and all of this, but at least they have their own story outside. We need to be a little, not just like the outlanders that came here, we have to go to, let's say, to discover, to then, to in somehow to say, to re-import at home.
So you had the idea for the hotel. How do you then go about opening it? Do you find investors? How does it actually work?
It was, a collection of big mistakes.
Accidents and mistakes, I love it.
Mistakes. I had, faced that to make that. I have to open all the year long. So can imagine my first January, it was a collection of zeros. But after the first year that it was hard enough, then we start to construct a winter, let's say, process. This allows me also to give a very good talent payroll staff because I was paying the whole year round. And with these talents that I grab, I start to make a better precision than other hotels because still we're not open. So with this process, year by year, obviously I get my financials, but that was 4 or 5 years after. So there was a lot of mistakes, and what we were absolutely focused is to make that there were happenings in our hotel. But nowadays we've made more than 500 exhibits or things like this. We can say it proudly. But in the first step, when we start to make that in winter in Ibiza, it was something that was not based, was not something that was happening every corner. So we try to give the possibility to all these artists that they made the winter mode to have a spot in which they can, let's say, connect, to create networking, and not only about art, also fashion, music, a lot of these processes. So while we were making all of this, obviously we get a skin very artistic. And DJs, when they came here in the summer season, they would to be part of the process and having, let's say, this exchange of them. So we were proudly to say that in July and August, sometimes 100% of the hotels were DJs, that still there was not the explosion that today is, it is what it is, a DJ is. But there's a very, very, let's say, big, let's say, storytelling of what has happened in that hotel. Very little, but with a lot of intensive and deep stories.
You must have seen so many changes in Ibiza during that time.
Absolutely. Now we can say that here in Ibiza we have the very first, let's say, more sophisticated hospitality in the world, but in 2008 I opened the first sky bar in Ibiza that was in our hotel. So imagine you, and DJs asking me, well-known DJs, asking me to make jam sessions there. So it was like a friendship. It was very organical and very, and nowadays that's impossible. That's like an impossible, because only the payroll of one of these DJ could be impossible to pay for this type of events. It has changed so much. Imagine you that at the beginning of the century, a lot of hotels didn't have air condition in Ibiza. So we are talking about, let's say, that it's been more than a change, a disruption, I would say.
That's a really interesting way to look at it. A good disruption?
A very good one, I think so. I always like Darwinian and, let's say, process of to adapt. So obviously there is people that says that any time of the past is better than what it is today. I am not one of that. I try to be optimistic and to live the good mood, and I think that any moment it's good enough. There is not a good stuff in any process, and there is a good one. So I try to pick the good, let's say, processes and try to adapt to them. So I think that disruption is always good if you try to make it in a good way.
So what is your life like here? What does describe your life to me?
August, it's, let's say, the period which I have some, let's say, relax in terms of hard work. But obviously I have a lot of networking, go to a lot of sports, parties and things, because there's a lot of, let's say, work to make it in order to work harder in the winter time or off season.
So you have to go to a lot of parties.
I have to. But, you know, there's always there's a trapdoor which I escape, because I can, if not, it's impossible to
today, carry on like that.
Today
yeah.
I have to go to Flower Power in Pacha, or other places. I have not to go, but you have to go if you want to be part of the process of being in your sports, has to have, let's say, light enough to be part of the system. So this is for sure a part of the job. So, but during the year, I travel a lot. I travel a lot. Constantly I go at least once per month to London. Every single week I have to go to Barcelona or to Madrid or to France, where we have hotels. And yeah, constantly I have to also, in the office, we are now preparing, from the last 2 weeks, we are preparing next season. So people think that the season you started in January. No. We are making, let's say, a lecture of what we have to improve, which are the new moods in the island, which are the new moods in the earth, and try to, let's say, to start make a brainstorming of, let's say, of developing the trends and the products. That's why one side. And by another side, we are at same developing new projects in the mainland. So now we are developing projects in Barcelona and in Sevilla. So this is, let's
say, you've already got hotels in Madrid, Barcelona, but Sevilla will be new.
Yeah.
Oh, amazing. I love Sevilla.
I love too, and we are very happy to be able to open there. And at same, we are trying to find new spots in which we can deploy our products. So yeah, constantly we are in that process. So let's say that from September till June, it's that type of work constantly, and yeah, it's your rhythm. But my rhythm is to, I am one that I prefer not to regret what I can been done, rather than not doing it. So I prefer to, let's say, to keep moving and to find things. I'm always curious about the new things and new processes, and sometimes it gives me the opportunity to make a new hotel.
So where do you have your eyes on anywhere around the world?
London.
London. Fantastic.
I love London. In fact, we are developing a new project there, but it's not a hotel. It's because we have also have developed a concierge concept of flats. We've done 4 here in Ibiza. We've made 2 in the mainland, 1 in Andorra, and another one in Baqueira. And now we are developing one in Camden, in London. Nice. Of 77 units, so very next to Camden Market. So we are excited with that. But what we're trying to find is a good spot to make a hotel. That's my dream, that's my focus, and this is, I think that in this weird and awkward era, where there is a lot of hesitation, doubts and everything, it will give us the opportunity to find proper spot in London.
Where's your favourite hotel? Not that you own, where's your favourite hotel in the world, and what's good about it?
It used to be Costes. Sorry, it is not more Costes, because they made some renovations which I dislike a little. I used to like a lot one that is in London, in next to Liverpool station. It's the Boundary. It's a hotel that it's done by three architects that they are shareholders, and it's a very curious project because the rooftop, they are dressed like the waiters like they were in the countryside. There is a very good spot downstairs. Every single room is designed in an era or in a movement or by an architect. So you've got the Le Corbusier room, or you've got the Bauhaus room, or you've got the Mies van der Rohe room. At same, you've got a pastry, and you've got a ecologic supermarket. But that was done in 20 years ago. So they were, let's say, a visionaries on that. A lot of people has based a lot of the processes of a boutique hotel in that spot. And I like so much to go there because still is in there. And, you know, when you survive to that you're being copied and you are there, it is because there is still the mood. And I like so much that hotel. I like so much. It's not always we are talking about very, very big names. And sometimes the little one are the ones that are the real game changers.
Where in the world have you felt most at home, and do you switch off apart from here when you travel?
London and Barcelona. But London, I was living there 3 years. I was in Notting Hill living, so I felt part of the as a Londoner, because you know, being a Londoner is not being from UK, it's being of the, it's a capital of the world. What I like the most of London, it is that if I compare with New York, it is that there is a human scale, because it's a collection of history of villages that has constructed this super metropolis. And you felt that you are not something that is rejecting you as a human being. So you are able to, let's say, to embrace the, if you are in Notting Hill or Marylebone or Shoreditch or, I don't mind, whatever part of London, you feel very, let's say, based. And in 3-4 months, I felt like I was at home. And when I was flying around and I was landing in London, I felt good, like I was at home.
I absolutely love that. I'm really proud when people say that about London, because some people don't like it. You know, like many people don't like New York, they don't like LA. But to me, London's diversity and its embracing of everything is just what it's all about.
Yeah, and the connection Ibiza, London, it's very, let's say, clear. You've got a direct flight all the year round with London City Airport. So for me, it was easy to leave. My daughters were studying in UK. My wife were based in London, obviously, and I was the one that was traveling around. And the connection with people of Notting Hill that were living in Ibiza, I was going in a, let's say, in a U-turn process, and they say, why are you going to London? It's better to come to Ibiza. Yeah, because you've been there and you're coming with your experience. I have to grab some experience there also. So I'm coming back to Ibiza, obviously.
I was out with at least 3 people from Notting Hill last night that I just met in the clubs. I went out and I was back in at 5.
Yeah.
Had a great night.
No. And here in Ibiza, there is the Ibiza Preservation Fund. That is a preservation institution that was developed by Londoners from Notting Hill. One of them is Serena Cook, that I have a lot of respect to her. And the work that she had done here in Ibiza, being from UK. So let's say that this connection is there. And, And that's why I like so much, obviously, London. I feel like it is a magnetic, cosmopolitan city of the world.
You're a musician, I noticed.
Yeah.
I was stalking your Instagram page, and I noticed you're a musician.
Absolutely. If I had success with music, I wouldn't have any type of hotel. But, you know, in my headquarters there, I have a place which I can still play the guitar when I'm pissed off of everybody. So I put there with my Marshall, with my guitars, and I play around. So nobody, let's say, disturbs me when I'm doing that. But let's say yes. I used to have my own group band, and I was from 14 probably to 23, 24 years, having my own group, making gigs in the Catalan coast also. I made one in Paris. It was a very, let's say, coincidence. But yeah, I record our own songs. And some of the members of the group, nowadays they have their own music processes. But, you know, my way was absolutely different. I am hotelier now, but this is also one of the things that this is while I like so much the music, and I want that in my hotels, music is part, one of the pillars of the happening processes.
Absolutely. Music, art, travel, you know, incredibly, hotels, all incredibly wonderful things. Actually, that brings me nicely to my very last question, but I'm going to ask you something before that, because just for anyone coming to Ibiza, what are your top recommendations for people to do?
There is two type of recommendation. There is, let's say, the commercial, let's say, statement of what you have to do if you go to Ibiza once in your life. You have to go to some cathedrals that you have to go. But then there are the hidden places. So I think that the commercial places, everybody can explain about that. I'm going to focus more in the hidden places, like one restaurant that is fantastic, and it's I like so much. I like so much to be lost there. That it's Sas Bocas in the Calas de San José, and also I'm going next week. I was last week, so it's a very good place to go. And I like also to go. Everybody that comes here, yeah, they can go to Pacha, to everywhere, but going to Pikes is something that it's a must. And going to my also shareholder and friend, that is Diego Calvo, that owns his own gig once per month, that it's Rock Nights, that yesterday was in a gig in the mainland. It's a very place, it was where Tony Pikes make his first let's say boutique hotel in Ibiza. It was not Ocean Drive, it was done by him, and let's say it's a very well-known place because it was where Freddie Mercury made his own big parties with George Michael. There's a lot of story still in there, so it's a great place to go. And also I would say that Bigotti's, but it's a restaurant that it's impossible to have table. So if you want a table today, you have to wait like 2 months. This guy only puts on the table what he's able to fish during the day.
Amazing.
So it's a place unique. Everybody wants to go there, and it's also an incredible place. You know, things like this that gives you some peaceful moments, because at least Ibiza is about contrast. And if you want to go then to the very big, let's say, gigs and places like Pacha, Ushuaia, Hai, DC-10, or things like this. Obviously, there are good parties like Circo Loco in DC-10 or with Hike with Black Coffee. But some places that sometimes people come here for only 3-4 days to make one of these three, let's say, activities, it's good enough.
Now you're confusing me. I've only got two more nights left, and I had a late night last night at Cova Santa.
Cova Santa, too. It's fabuloso.
It was amazing.
But it's really? It's a party that it's only done once per year, and it's about the workers and all the people of Ibiza come there. It was the 10th anniversary last Saturday. Yeah, Cova Santa, it's also a very good place to go, but there is a big party that is fabuloso, like a flower power process, but more, let's say, let's say, focus for the native people of the
island. That's nice. So you get
and there is a confluation there of people, and it's a very good party also.
Because after the season ends, of course, you have, you know, lots of people still coming, but people go home, and what's left is you locals.
Yes, yes. At least, we love winter time because it's when you can have time for your friends and some friends that you are unable to see during the summertime because everybody works like 20 hours every single day. And then there is a process of again to have a peaceful moments to be on the table, to have a good dinner with friends. So yeah, it comes later. So this type of parties during the season that you can reconnect in some moment there, it's fantastic.
I'm going to ask you my last question now. My last question is always about music. And I notice you and I have very similar taste in music. If I was to ask you to choose one song that reminds you of a special moment of travel, I mean, of course, that could be here, Ibiza, where you're from. What is that song and what is the moment and the memory?
It's strange, but it's not about Ibiza. It's about, let's say, while I was in the university, so I was in Barcelona studying in the university. It is a Pixies song, and it's Monkeys Gone to Heaven. So reminds me while I was, discovering this indie pop music, which gave me some, of my character more, you know, I grab a jeans, a shirt, more unsophisticated way of life. It is how I am in my daily basis. So, yeah, I like so much, obviously, Pixies, Jesus and Mary Chain, Jesus Jones, Stone Roses, and all this type of music. This had a very big influence in the way that I used to play the guitar and the way that I like music to be played. So if I have to choose one song that remembers me, all of that, is Monkeys Going to Heaven.
Thank you so much, Mark. I really enjoyed that conversation. And also thank you to the Ocean Drive Talamanca, which was just an amazing place to stay. Next up, we have another Ibizan special. I'll be talking to the Mambo Brothers, two of the island's most brilliant DJs.